This episode of Changelog is sponsored by Audible.com.
Audible. I love Audible. They have like a bajillion books. So many good things. Right now, I'm just trucking right along. I'm on book 5 of the Wheel of Time series, and I'm loving it. Great. There's 2 narrators for that, a male and a female, and really good. The thing I love about Audible is just the quality that you get for minimal amount of money out of your pocket. It's good stuff. You pick up books left and right, and it's great.
And I hope you're not sick of me at this point, trying to remind you every week to go to onefootover.com/freebook. But you need to. You need to check it out. Download it. You hear us talking about it enough. It's worth it. We're not the type of people to recommend something unless we believe in it and we like it.
Yeah.
Word.
Thanks,
Audible. Audible.com. Welcome to Changelog, the weekly podcast where we talk about what's new in the tech world and what that means to real people. I'm Brian.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Craig.
How y'all doing?
Great.
Good.
Excellent, excellent. So before we get into all of our excitement this week, let's go around and do some drinks. Craig, what you got?
I'm just rocking a Blue Moon tonight.
Blue
Moon. Just wanted something nice and smooth.
Nice. I like the Blue Moon.
I've got some new beers I want to try out, but they're not cold enough yet.
It's getting there.
Rightio. You know, a fun trick, if you want to cool down a beer fairly quickly, is to wrap it in a wet paper towel and throw it in the freezer.
I know. I've done that, and it actually works surprisingly well.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it comes to IPAs, I like to have them a certain temperature where that's kind of pushing it with IPAs sometimes. But
cool. Jim, what you on?
Just ice water.
All right.
I have been under the weather of late, and so I'm on some, you know, some cold medicine, and I don't want to mix it with anything.
You got to burn it out, man. You can burn that coal out with some of that rooster stuff that you bought.
Oh, you got lighter fluid, you mean?
I'm rocking a Leinen Kugel's Harvest Patch Shandy.
How is that? Nice. I've seen it.
It's good. I like it. It's pumpkin flavored, but not ridiculously so.
Really?
It's more like the pumpkin spice. So it's good. I like it. It's got a nice bite to it.
I think you're drinking that about 2 days too early. I'm just saying.
I don't care. It was at the store. I got it. It's delicious. I mainly bought it for my wife. She likes pumpkin flavored things.
Yeah. Well, I was at Kohl's last weekend and they had Christmas shit. And
what's
for those
up with
of you that?
That
don't know the date, it's the last week of September, which means that the 3rd week of September, Kohl's had Christmas shit out.
Fail Kohl's.
Seriously? What happened to Halloween? What happened to Thanksgiving? I hate retail. That's the kind of company that, you know what? It's going to be Thanksgiving night, and they're going to have the stores open at 5 o'clock instead of people sitting around eating a big-ass turkey, enjoying family. No, let's go Christmas shopping. It's Black Friday. Fuck you, Kohl's.
Wow. Cold medicine does a number on Jimbo there.
It's NyQuil. I love that stuff.
So for all of your needs for colds, you can go to NyQuil.com. I'm just joking. They didn't pay us nothing. NyQuil. I hate NyQuil.
Really? I hate the taste of NyQuil.
I don't like
the green death flavor is the best.
I don't like any liquid medicine really to start with. But then with my heart stuff, I can't take any decongestants. So,
although the medicine you used to take at work, Brian, that made you walk around like a drunk sailor, those were some of the best days when Brian was under the weather and he would take this cold medicine. It was like a whole different person.
Yeah, it's the Cortisedin HBP. And I don't know what's in it, but it messes me up.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. You almost talk complete sentences with Brian when he's on it. I'm amazed you make it home driving. I mean, I would trust you after you drank like a fifth of vodka or something over that cold medicine to drive.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's rough. It's rough. All right. So we were super lazy because we spent all of this week playing with our phones. So we didn't really plan too much.
Yeah.
But we're just going to freestyle on you. So all of us got our iPhone 6s. Well, Jim got a 6s. Craig and I got the 6s Plus. And we're going to give you some thoughts. So
but wait, before we go into that though.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, because we kind of go back and forth on our rants, is not one of us is an iPhone fanboy at all. We are every single one of us would jump. Wait a minute. Brian is.
He said that with a straight face.
Yeah, I know. I tried to get into it. Jim and I definitely are the ones that sway back and forth between Android and iOS. You know, Jim would actually freak me out more if he said he was going to go with a Windows phone, because I'd probably have to make sure he wasn't, some kind of alien taking him over. But Brian cracked me up, because Brian was never an iPhone fanboy back when I was. And I'll never go iPhone, and all of a sudden now he has one, and he'll never switch. And with me, I waver constantly.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure everybody knew this wasn't from an iPhone fanboy perspective, because there could be a better Android phone tomorrow, and if I could have it and it works in my daily life, I would love to have it.
Now, wait a minute. There could be, but there was a... Let's get into the Nexus event later, where they announced two new phones. But, okay, so non-fanboy, you're going to tell us about the good, bad, and the ugly, your experience with the iPhone 6S Plus. Go, Craig.
Okay, I was going to say, were you making a joke at Brian, or were you referring to me? So, you know what? For me, right now, like you guys have seen in our chat all week and stuff like that, right now it's just the speed increase. You know, it's the first significant S update that's worthwhile, where the phone feels snappier, responsive. You know, we all had our kind of lagging issues with, you know, apps that weren't fully updated, or trying to play around with stuff while we're downloading 30, 40 different apps. And, you know, that's to be expected. A lot of that's been weeded out with me, and I haven't had as many problems. But just everything in general seems to be running so smooth, and even the battery life is not as bad as I expected it. So, and of course, all the little fun tips and tricks we've been sharing, you know, with the Force Touch and all that other good stuff. But,
okay.
Yeah, I just, like I said, this is probably the first iPhone since the 3G that I'm actually like thoroughly enjoying.
You know, I have to tell you, when I had the iPhone 3G, I was on AT&T's network because they were the exclusive carrier at the time. And it sucked. I dropped calls all the damn time. So
That's
I did
AT&T,
not really
though.
Enjoy an iPhone until I hit about the iPhone 4S. And that was a really good phone. It was a camera upgrade to the 5 megapixel, and it was pretty solid as far as call integrity went, and it was the last phone before they switched over to the Lightning adapter. So from a peripheral point of view, it was ubiquitous, the 30 pin. So it was, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, see, the 3G had a lot. See, I had the original iPhone, and to go from 2G to 3G was like going from dial-up to DSL. It was so amazing to actually have those speeds and actually have, you know, the compass, all the other fun stuff in it. Yeah, and then for me, it was just everything was just so subtle after that. It just, they didn't pick up any more speed. It's just like websites. We get faster internet, but we get bogged down with all the adware and all the other garbage that's on there. It's like, great, we're paying for extra speed for you to give us a mediocre experience. And that's kind of how I felt for a long time. But at the time, Android, Brian, you know my opinion back then, Android was just sucking until they hit, what, 4? Android 4, whatever that one was called at the time.
Yeah, and I was a big proponent of the
Android. Was that ice cream sandwich?
That's what
Yeah, that was the stability right there.
Yeah, once that hit, I was more comfortable with Android and thought it was a
I really liked Lollipop the best. What was that, 5, 3, 4, 2?
Good question.
Whatever. One of them was awesome.
Yeah. I really liked the Android, mainly because I just loved being able to tinker around with stuff.
Yeah.
And then after a while I got really bored of tinkering. I'm like, I just want something that works and actually lasts most of the day. And that was when I switched over to the 5S. And I've been on the iPhone since.
That's right. You did have a 5S. I thought you went from Android to a 6.
No, I had that 5S for a year, and then I got the 6, had that for a year, and now I have the 6S Plus. So, yeah, I'm really digging this new phone. I got to tell you, the camera on it is magnificent. I got that Moondog Labs adapter, which I'll probably talk about a little bit later, but, I mean, just the quality of video that I'm getting off of this thing is ridiculous. I did have some issues with it being a little bit laggy when unlocking and switching between apps for the first day. And after that, it seemed to right itself. So I'm not sure what was causing that. We had a theory that it was because Craig and I both had a similar issue, and we both restored our phones from backups of our sixes. And Jim started with a fresh load and was not having the problems. So I'm wondering if there were things that were still just kind of working themselves out.
So I got the 6S, you know, because I got the petite fingers and hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. It is snappy. The camera is ridiculous. Brian's right. I did do a fresh install, set it up as a new iPhone, and then yesterday or the day before, I started having lag issues. Where now, when I unlock the phone for or switch apps, it's laggy, paused at a black screen half the time, or on the multitasking screen trying to select something. And it's, you know, hard frozen for maybe 2 seconds solid. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, that's what was happening to me. And I kept killing all the background apps, which seemed to help. And then I think what finally did it was I did 2 hard reboots in a row.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And after that, I have not had a single problem. And that was 3 days ago.
Well, you know, while we're talking, I will do 2 hard resets.
Cool.
And yeah. I will report back next week if Brian was for the win.
I noticed the Filmic app, which I was using for recording video, it actually, recording the 4K video and everything, it was processing video in the background after I closed out of the app.
Yeah.
And I think that was causing part of my problem too, because it seemed like every time I killed that app, it would start working better for a while.
You know, I watch a lot of the Verge videos when they do like a product review of Android phones. And whenever they show like the multitasking screen, they're just like swipe, swipe, swipe through, you know, what looks like dozens of apps. I'm getting lag with like 2 apps open. You know what I mean? So whether there is a crappy, poorly coded app that's causing it, maybe. But I don't really think it has anything to do with the number of apps I've got running in the background. Maybe something is processing, as in your experience, but it's definitely the situation where it's not running out of memory.
Did you go into the battery usage just even to see what your biggest battery hog is too? Because I was noticing some really rough battery issues and stuff right away, and I thought maybe it's because I was downloading everything. Well, I use the Facebook app, post a couple of pictures of the kids for the relatives, and mainly because I run a paintball team, and it's an easier way to coordinate with teams so-and-so.
Well, sure.
That Facebook app was using like 66% of the battery, even for background
tasks.
Wow. And it was to the point where I finally got to it where I just killed it. And now I just run it off the mobile web browser instead, which looks almost exactly like the app because all the app is a shell that's nothing more than a mobile web browser with a bunch of other things trying to control your phone. And that sped up a lot of the lag issues I was having. I honestly haven't had any lag since I got rid of the Facebook app. So I know you don't use it, Jim, but I think it might be one of those apps that's just not coded right for iOS 9 at this point.
You know what? The Facebook app updated. I wonder if that might have been part of what fixed my problem, because several apps did update.
Yeah, there's been a lot of updates I've been getting coming through. I just wasn't too keen on throwing the Facebook one back on there anytime soon because there's nothing I need to be notified on. I like to go out there when I want to see things. So
yeah.
You know, in the last 24 hours, nothing is over 20%. Phone, is it 19%? Downcast is at 16%, which I use for streaming my podcast, whatnot. iBooks, because of course I'm listening to books, Audible, Reader, Safari, those are all at about 10%. So, and everything else is less than that.
Yeah, mine's sitting at 26% Safari, and everything else is 13% and below.
Yeah, my highest one is 17% for Netflix, and then 14% Safari, and everything else is below that. So, I mean, that does bode well for that. You know, nothing is really eating your battery.
You know, the battery also, life has been really good, way better than the 5S.
Yeah. Also, on Saturday, I recorded video off and on for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
At the end, I think I probably had about 40 minutes of video, and I still had battery left.
That's so awesome.
I mean, that's pretty good.
It's really quick.
I was at
I was going to say while we're on it too. I was thinking I thought before. I just wanted to clarify something from previous podcast we were talking about was, you know, we were talking about how the 6S has a smaller battery.
Yeah, and 1750 milliamp hour.
Yeah, and well, I mean, even the 6S Plus is a little bit smaller, and I thought it was because I had read somewhere it was because the 3D touchscreen needed the additional space, and it's actually
it's the haptic sensor.
Yeah, the haptic sensor actually requires a little bit of space underneath the battery, and I love having the haptic in the phone because that's the one feature I love to the watch instead of a generic vibrate. That haptic feedback, I like that a lot better than the traditional vibrate. So,
I tested iOS 9, the beta. I want to say the fifth release of the beta on my iPhone 5S. And the power save mode that you could put it in. You know, my phone, the battery life was horrible on the 5S. And it was one of those, it was always on the charger, so I was never really optimizing it for a lithium ion battery, but I got crap for battery life. And, you know, every chance I got, I turned on power mode or whatever that is. And it helped. It really did get me through whatever I needed to do. And if I was going to be out all day long using my phone at 80%, I would turn it on battery mode. So, and it would last the day. So, even without, you know, swapping the battery, just that power mode was enough to get me through whatever I needed to get more hours of time away from the charger. So even with a smaller battery, I really feel like the way they were able to add this power mode, it's smaller. It doesn't matter. I think I'll be fine.
Yeah. Jenny has the 6, which she's had for a while, and I think unless she is doing tons of Twitter stuff, her battery lasts most of the day. Me, I rarely have to charge. I rarely had to charge my 6 during the day. And the 6S has been the same. I mean, the battery life has been great.
Yeah, outside of the first day, I had to charge it because I got really low on battery just with all the installs and everything. Mm-hmm. My 6 Plus, there was rarely ever an occasion to have to charge it in the middle of the day. And that was only because if I was watching a full movie here and there, you know, whatever. But yeah, I was always worried with the iPhone because I loved my Samsung phones because I liked having extra batteries. Like when traveling through airports for the day, I loved not being tethered to a wall. But I have to say, you know, this is actually pretty good, you know, for not being able to remove this battery and having the reliability to say, hey, I can make it through a day easily.
Yeah, the two things I notice that really kill my battery is if I'm watching YouTube over LTE. On Wi-Fi, it doesn't seem to use nearly as much battery. And then Twitter. If I'm like actively engaging in a lot of Twitter stuff, so there's a lot of refreshing happening, the battery drops fast. It did on my 6 anyway. We'll see with this one. I imagine it'll be the same though.
All right, so you guys, generically speaking, you've been happy with your phone?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, worth the price, all that?
You know, I think it's worth the price, and I think it's worth the upgrade just for the speed, the pictures.
Yeah.
You know, we're in a day and age where, you know, nobody carries around a point-and-shoot camera anymore. So to actually have a 12-megapixel 4K camera, I mean, I know Samsung's been doing it for a while. Other phones we've talked about with different sensors and everything. But when it comes to iPhones, if you're stuck in the Apple environment, this is the first S where I think, yeah, it's worth the upgrade in between. You know, whereas most of them, it's like, nah, just wait for the next one to come out. But I don't know. I'm very happy so far you know, with just the speed in general, the reliability so far seems to be better. And that's partly because of iOS 9. It's not 100% the phone, but you get that reliability, the extra RAM and everything. The better processor. I was hating my 6 for quite a while, and this is kind of making me enjoy having an iPhone for a little bit longer. So,
yeah, it is notably faster. Yesterday, it was last night, Jenny wanted to look up a Twitter tag, and I grabbed my phone. And I was already at the search screen typing it in, and she was sitting there. And I just heard her from the other room. She's like, oh, why won't you go to the search? So, yeah, there's a noticeable, if you side-by-side it with a 6 and a 6S, there's a big difference in the speed.
Cool.
What else we got to say about iPhones? Anything?
No, I don't.
Oh, Craig, why don't you share your tip about the force push in a text editor?
When you're using the keyboard?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So one of the things I found that I really liked is, when you have a typo in the middle of a word and you want to go back, you know, you'd have to hold down on the text until you got the cursor and you'd have to drag around. And then, of course, your finger's blocking the screen and you can't tell, you know, exactly where you drop it off. Sometimes it takes you a couple attempts. If you force touch down on the keypad, it'll actually bring a cursor up and it basically just slide your thumb around like a mouse pad and it'll let you actually drag and drop that cursor anywhere within that text. And I thought that was really handy.
So one little caveat to add, when you're typing, you need to tap on the screen in the text to put the cursor there before you force press.
Yes. You actually don't.
Well, you know what? It does just come up.
Oh, I think I know what you mean. You mean you have to actually be in a typing scenario?
Yes, you have to be in a typing field.
And I'm talking from the perspective I thought, you assumed you already were typing, not something you came back to. But yes, if you are not selected on the text for typing, it will not do that. It'll actually, depending on the app you're in, you get that little haptic shake because it has no command to do so.
I think I turned off the haptic on my phone, and I still have that. So one of the forums I was reading about lag, and it was saying that, oh, yeah, there are problems with the haptic engine, blah, 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 blah. Anyhow, so as kind of a troubleshooting step, I turned off the haptic feedback or force press, force touch, whatever it's called. And I still have that ability to use force press and move the cursor around like you're talking. But I don't get that haptic feedback.
Right.
So just incidentally, I'm not getting the haptic feedback because I turned it off.
Interesting. I noticed, I haven't figured out exactly how I get it to work yet, but you can actually do something with two hands to get it to select text when you're doing that.
Yeah, there's a few motions you could do, and it'll actually select all, where if you drag across it, you can actually start selecting what you want to highlight so you can copy it. Because the one thing that's been kind of a challenge for me that I just have to get used to is when I want to like grab a web address, you have to lightly hold down on it so you get the select all. Otherwise, if you force press down on it, you don't get the select all. It's trying to do something else. So, that is kind of getting a little, different. Even just trying to arrange an icon on the screen, you've got to lightly hold down to be able to get it to pop up where you can actually drag and drop them around. So, but nothing that's too bad.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah,
other than that, I haven't found any too many other little secrets that really spark my interest or make it worthwhile. So,
did you guys see that Google Keep came to the Apple Store or the App Store?
No.
Yeah. So if you're like me, I live in the Google ecosystem, but on an iPhone. And the experience is excellent because, the iPhone, the operating system is more stable, apps tend to crash less, yada, 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 better battery life. Anyhow, so a good notes app is Google Keep. You can get to it from everywhere, and it officially is on the App Store. So.
Very nice. I also saw that they just brought Google Maps to the watch, the Apple Watch.
Really?
Yep.
So, what do you guys want to talk about? You guys want to talk about Google?
Yeah, I say we switch over to Google just because, you know, the phones rather than repeat specs that anybody can read about, you know, fun stuff like that.
So Google had their Google Nexus event. They unveiled a crap ton of stuff. You want to talk about any of the hardware that they unveiled? Did you guys check out the hardware? I should ask.
Well, the thing that I started with was the Chromecast, because they have not only the Chromecast, but the Chromecast audio.
Right, right. Well, tell us about it.
You've got your Chromecast, which, you know, does support the higher speed, Wi-Fi connections and everything, but it's not a game changer that's going to make the old Comcast obsolete Chromecast obsolete anytime soon. You know,
well, so what do we get? We get 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Anything else?
Same
price?
Same
price. Expensive?
Yeah, nope, still $35. Best Buy has it on their website right now as a pre-order at $35 for October 8th. And the thing that had me interested, it was the Chromecast audio, because having multiple Bluetooth devices, Bluetooth soundbar, you know, connecting to all this stuff, I like the idea of connecting to an audio Wi-Fi like a Sonos or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I complain about is, why couldn't they have packaged that all into one where I could buy one Chromecast device and choose how I want to use it, instead of now I have to buy separate devices for separate purposes? Because I have a $70 investment in to have TV and audio for music. What were you saying, Jim?
I think you answered your own question. Now you have to give them $70.
Yes, and I don't like that at all. So, because honestly, I'm not going to change either one of my Chromecasts out until one of them dies, and then that'll be the reason to go to the next gen. But, I mean, for what I'm streaming at home and stuff like that over Netflix, I mean, I don't see a need for 5 gigahertz for the Chromecast anytime soon, but...
Hey, if I could just report something since we're chatting. I did 2 hard resets and I have no lag issues right now. And I'm running lots and lots of apps.
There you go. It might be a fix.
I'll report back later, but that's awesome.
Good old hard reboot. So many people don't know about that.
Yeah, we should tell our listeners to perform a hard reboot. You hold down both buttons for a while.
Yep. 10 the seconds power on the home the power. And the sleep wake.
You hold the power button and the home button down until the screen goes black and you wait for the Apple logo to come back up. You release, and that's a hard reboot. Just turning it off and turning it on is not a hard reboot.
No, it pretty much just sleeps it.
Yep.
But with no power.
Exactly. So,
My
uncle did send me a nice text message that when they were doing the restore on my aunt's phone, that it bricked at the Apple screen and sat there overnight, all night. They took it to AT&T and had to get it fixed.
Really?
So they hard reset it at AT&T?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. I mean, and of course, when they were doing the backup from everything else, I want to be able to give the exact thing here, the DFU mode. I like how they call it the FU mode. you actually have to have it tethered and you hold the home and power button for 10 seconds. Let's see. Because you actually have to have it plugged into an Apple computer. And what it does is you have to have it plugged into a computer and connected to iTunes. And that's the only way you're going to be able to get it out of that constant boot. So by doing that, iTunes will reset it. You can start over. But if you ever want, you can always go look. There's plenty of tutorials on how to put your phone in the DFU mode.
In case you want to DF it?
Exactly. So, but let's see. You got to keep holding the power button and pressing the home button, and iTunes pop-up will saying it detects a device in DFU mode. And I haven't done that since an iPhone 4. But that was back in the good old developer days. Well, no, that was back in the good old developer days, running all the OSs before they were out on the market with all the problems. And yeah, getting that thing stuck in plenty of boot modes. But anyways.
Okay, so you don't like two Chromecasts.
I don't want two Chromecasts, not me personally. I mean, I don't know. Do you see a need for it? I mean, I love the idea of having a Chromecast audio because I don't want to have to be Bluetooth to something to be in range of it. You know,
yeah.
I know you could say, well, what good is it if you can hear it in the living room, but you're on the other end of the house in a bedroom? Well, if you're moving around and stuff, to actually have the Wi-Fi connected and still be able to communicate with the devices, I like that better than Bluetooth. You know, Bluetooth's great for a car. For home, I don't want to have to sit in the room or stay close enough to it and not walk away. So,
okay.
I like the idea of it. Just like I said, it's stupid to have to pay $70 now for two separate devices.
Fair enough. I did check out the event. A couple things I liked. I liked the Pixel C, its own kind of Microsoft Surface style tablet. It's fantastic. It's a 10.2-inch tablet, 3 gigs of RAM. It's got a NVIDIA X1 processor. It's running Android 6.0 Marshmallow. It starts at, $500, and the keyboard is $150. And one of the nice things is it has like an induction sensor on the front, so when you close it, like clamshell style, the screen will actually charge the keyboard and allow it to run for like up to 2 months. So, for you hardcore Android fanboys out there, it's awesome.
Yeah, that definitely, it sparks my interest a lot more than the iPad Pro did.
Yes.
And because when it comes to tablets, I still love my Android tablets. This is probably the only one right now that has my interest right now. You know, the Samsung tablets, things like that, I don't know. To me, they just kind of seem
if it had
boring.
LTE, I would be buying one.
Yeah, that is a good point that there's way too many of, you know, how many Android tablets actually have LTE out there? Not a lot of them.
Not a lot, yeah. The Nexus 7 was nice with LTE. I think the 9 you could get LTE. But this, no, seriously, if they rock this with a, if it's available with an Android or with a cellular connection, I think I'm going to pick up one of these.
Do they have I didn't see a date when they're actually going to be releasing it.
No, I did not either. Available this year, in time for the holidays.
Okay. Yeah. Cause like I said, with the Chromecast, I didn't see any release date right away. I had to go hunting around. Even Amazon doesn't have them on there for pre-order yet. It was just.
So the Chromecast audio is available today, starting today, and in 17 countries.
See,
so you got to get it from the Google Chrome store or the Google Play Store.
So Play Store, you can have it, order it today. Anywhere else, looks like October 8th is the ship date.
Yeah. So you're officially pre-ordering it today. That's the thing, but it will ship in 2 weeks, and they're saying that the software that's on it will get updated several times over the next year, rolling out some new features. Hmm. Yeah. What else? They came up with a couple of phones, and I have to tell you, they look nice. The Nexus 6P, which is the successor to the Nexus 6. And the Nexus 5X, which is the successor to the Nexus 5. Yeah, they look pretty awesome. Did either of you check out these two phones?
Yeah, I was looking at them. I thought it was interesting that they'd have the camera bumped out on them.
I think the iPhone has the camera bumped out.
Yeah, but this is a big bump.
Yeah,
across the top.
Well.
Yeah. Not that it's necessarily a negative thing. I just thought it was an interesting design that they took.
I think I remember reading that there is on the 5X, it has the 12.3 megapixel camera on the back, but an 8 megapixel camera on the front. And it maybe required the bump out to accommodate such a nice front-facing sensor.
Okay.
Although I think the Nexus 6P has a 5 megapixel front-facing. And 12 megapixel, and it has a bigger bump. So,
well, let me ask you this. I mean, with the Nexus phones, even the Nexus line in general, it just always feels like they have an idea. They go to the lowest bidder that's going to give them the best product, you know, which it should be. And it just seems like every year it's like they're changing up who their vendor is, what it's going to be, and they just keep slapping the Nexus. Do. But here's the thing. Is you look at a company like Apple, they stick to their guns. Here's our hardware. Spoiler alert, you know, next year we're getting the A10 processor, you know, just keep incrementing it. But it just, you never know what you're going to get with the Nexus device. Each one of these events, it's like, it sometimes is a complete ground up rebuild on some of these things because of the different vendors involved. But it just seems like the Nexus phones, especially, are just afterthoughts where they're just supported for a short amount of time and then they're on to the next thing. Okay. And even though it's got the Nexus name, does it ever feel to you guys like a completely different phone just branded with the same name?
I think you're thinking of this as, hey, this is Samsung's latest phone or their flagship phone, or this is the latest Huawei phone or whatever. This is a reference device. This is designed, purpose-built to hand to developers and say, hey, here's a dev device, use it. Also, from a stylist or stylistically speaking and hardware feature set, this is meant to just be much like a Surface. The Microsoft Surface was released to show Windows hardware partners what was possible. This is the same thing. So of course they're going to go with different vendors because they don't want to piss off Google hardware manufacturer vendors. And yeah, it's really it's not meant to be, hey, this is the best phone we make. This is, hey, this is what's possible. And that's why, you know, you can go out and you can buy your Note, Galaxy Note 5, Niner, that's, you know, $1 million. Or your LG G Flex 9 G4, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not really meant to be a major consumer product. It's meant to be a reference device. Anyhow, that's my thoughts as to why they do it like this. I could be wrong. And from my line of thinking, I think that it makes sense. It kind of lends credence as to why they're doing it this way. Or, you know, at least gives them an out.
What do you think, Brian?
You know, I think I agree with that. I just...
Otherwise, I can't explain why they would do this. Why would they? I mean, you're right. Why have one LG one year, then one Huawei, and then one LG the next year, and then one Motorola, and then so on and so forth? That makes no sense. Why do it?
Yeah, I really don't know. I think maybe they're just giving it to the lowest bid.
Could be.
They're just pitting them against each other to get better prices on the device. I don't know.
Look at the design language. They are not seamless from year to year. They are all over the freaking board. So
Yeah. And I think that kind of adds to the draw of the iPhone, just the fact that design wise it doesn't change that much. I mean, you know, it gets a little thinner, gets a little sleeker, but other than that, I mean, They've had their big changes, you know, like from the 3Gs into the 4 and the 5 and then now the 6s. But even with that, you know, you pick it up, you know exactly what you're doing with it.
Yeah.
It's part of what Craig complains about is there really hasn't been that much change software-wise from the first one to now other than making things faster, making things work a little bit better. You know,
well, yeah. I mean, you compare Android; it was grown by leaps and bounds, where it was almost too quick for a long time. Whereas with iOS, it just kind of, you know, it still looks almost the exact same now as it did back then.
It's just prettier.
They've added some stuff. They tried their stupid little bland, cartoonish colors. You know, what was that? iOS 7.
Oh.
And but what, like I said, when you get to the Nexus, I mean, stock Android still has looked about the same for how long now? You know, it's been for quite a while, but it's just, it's weird for me. Sure. With the Nexus phones. What's that?
I said, sure.
Yeah. So, but with the Nexus phones, it's like, you'd never know what to expect because it's going to be different hardware inside. It's just a Nexus branded device at the end of the day. But I don't know. They still do some good stuff with it. I just feel like they lose the love pretty quick. Google finds somebody else, and it's like they're the bastard stepchild. They don't need to be talked to anymore.
So speaking of Google, they came out with their Nexus 5, and it required the Nexus 6 from last year. And for those of you unfamiliar, the Google Fi is kind of their MVNO that is pairing cellular and Wi-Fi calling across Sprint and T-Mobile, kind of picks which is the best signal and goes with that for the time, and supposedly seamlessly switches between the two, which sounds awesome. The one caveat there was you were limited to the Nexus 6. However, these two phones, the Nexus 5X and the Nexus 6P, are both compatible with the Google Fi network, which I think is pretty awesome. Now, I personally wouldn't rock that phone just because Sprint is kind of poor in this area and T-Mobile can be spotty. But from a pricing point of view, it's great. $20 to make phone calls and unlimited texts, and then $10 for each gig you use. Sounds awesome. What do you guys think about Google Fi? Interesting to you guys or disruptive in any way to the carriers?
No, I like it. I mean, it's disruptive. I know we talked about it on a previous podcast and, you know, when it was a lot more, you know, or a lot less detail at the time.
Yeah.
It still interests me a lot. I like it because, I mean, when you look at the other carriers, I mean, I'm trying to think of what AT&T's little subsidiary company is now where they have to offer cheaper wireless for everybody. You know, and you're starting to see a lot more of this. And I think Republic Wireless is one of them out there that cashes in more on Wi-Fi calling. There's just a lot of it out there. So I like what Google's doing with it because it just seems like it's more refined instead of just kind of all over there with different carriers. I think Google has the potential to do it right. So, and hopefully other carriers will adopt it. I mean, look at how we've gotten away from actual cell phone plans with minutes, and it's all data now. Because who cares? Everybody's doing, you know, VoIP calls, you know, whatever you want to say, other methods here, or texting, or, you know, social media. Nobody's actually using phone call minutes nowadays. Not in the way that we used to, at least.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think there's got to be something that's going to shake it up, and it's got some good potential there.
Cool.
I don't have any other thoughts on that.
Yeah, me either.
And that's all I have to say about that.
That's all I have to say about that. That was Changelog for this week. I'm Brian.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Craig.
Have a great week.